let's begin our message as we do on Psalm 150, verse 6, by saying, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. And that's true. And that's true, and especially true for Joane Chatman, as we gathered yesterday to celebrate his life. He's in the presence of the Father today, celebrating him with all his glory and might, as he always did, standing right there in the middle of the this middle section here, praising him through song and worship. I miss my praise, brother. It's good to see when you see other men lifting holy hands unto the Lord and not afraid and to worship him for all of his glory and might. And it's a pleasure seeing that, and I'm going to miss that. And I know each and every one of you here are going to miss him as well, and all that he brought to our church, and the shining enthusiasm and the encouragement that he gave many of you. And we still keep Michelle and Ashley and all the family lifted up in prayers, their church family. And thank you for reaching out to them and letting her know that you're there, and when we're here for her and Ashley, and we'll always be as long as she needs us. But it's a great time as we came together yesterday. The church family supported the family just by showing up and honoring Joane, and along with his co-workers and family and friends that came in. It was kind of odd because when I went back there to visit with the family, Joane's brother Larry was back there, and I had to do a double take because Larry looks a lot like Joane. And it was just odd seeing Michelle and Ashley there, and you look over and see Larry, and it's like, wait a minute, you know. And it just proves even further how much we do miss Joane and his presence among us, because he made such a huge impact in all of our lives as a church family and friends. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, please open them with me to the book of Jeremiah. Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 32 is where we'll be in today. Chapter 32. Back in September of 2013, I brought you a message called Fields of Diamonds. And it's worth the time to go back and listen to it if you haven't before. But it's based on the true account book called Acres of Diamonds. And I can pretty much sum up the book Acres of Diamonds in about 2 minutes. And it's a true story of a man in South Africa named Ali Hafed, where he had bought a farm and he had a plow and he worked very hard. But as time went by, he became very discouraged on that farm because it just wasn't producing anything, and he was just losing money. And he heard that they were discovering diamonds in India, so he took his farm money, sold his farm, and he took the money, and he went searching. He gave enough money for his family to go live somewhere a little bit more meager, but he went off searching for diamonds, spent everything he had, searched all over the world for diamonds, and he never found them. And so he ended up finally in Spain, jumping into a raging river and taking his life, and he left a suicide note. And on that note, it said that there's no diamonds anywhere. I've just searched everywhere. And it's a tragic story where he took his life, and it's based on a true story. But also based on that true story is a man who bought Ali's farm, and he took that very same plow, and he took the same ox that Ali had used on that farm, and the same basically raw materials that he just pretty much abandoned after he sold the farm. And this fellow that bought his farm took to plowing his fields, and he began to plow those acres, and he discovered these annoying rocks that were everywhere. Well, after taking those rocks to get them discovered, it came to be the most magnificent diamond mine in all history, known as the Golconda Diamond Mines. And the moral of this story is the man who flung himself over into that river and took his life just searching for diamonds everywhere, out there, everywhere, somewhere, he never realized all of that time he was living in acres of diamonds. And so many times, just as well, we don't see the treasure of our own marriage. We don't see the treasure of our own homes we live in. We don't even see the treasure of our own church we attend and all of the blessings that come along with it. We always say, well, if I wish I had this, or I wish I had that, or if I could only have the life that they're living, or if I could only get that promotion at work, or maybe this achievement, well, then I would be happy. And we fail to recognize that right here, this morning, we're living in acres of diamonds. And in Jeremiah chapter 32, there's an amazing text that I've never brought a message on or taught about before, but I'd like to share this beginning with verse 25. And it reads, "You have said to me, O Lord God, buy for yourself the field with money, and call in witnesses. Although the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" And so what I want us to see in this text is that we need to understand kind of what's taking place here first. They were being invaded, and that's obvious by our text, by the Chaldeans. They were the Babylonians. They were coming in to take over the whole city. The whole nation of Israel now was being lost, and they were about to enter into 70 years of captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar. And everybody knows, if you've been around long enough, especially as I look out and see a few veterans, that it's kind of like Vietnam. When it became obvious that that war was becoming lost to a degree, everybody is just trying to flee and get out of Vietnam as much as they can, get out of the city. And this is the exact kind of same setting as that was. They're selling. Everybody's selling this. Everybody's selling that. They're selling everything. And in the midst of all of that chaos and everybody trying to sell their stuff and get out of there, God comes to Jeremiah and he says, "I want you to buy this field. I want you to buy this land because I gave you this land. I gave you this field here that I want you to buy. I gave you this farm. I gave my people the land flowing with milk and honey. And yes, it looks bad. I know it looks like you probably should sell everything and run with the rest of the people. But what I love about this story is that God told him to buy in the midst of when everybody else was selling. And that's my message today, buying in. Buying in. God told him that there's just some things that you just need to hold on to that everybody else is beginning to let go of. And we need to be careful in our lives is when our ship comes in that we're not at the bus station. You need to be careful that you don't walk away from acres of diamonds in your life that God has for you in your marriage or God has for you in your family or perhaps even your job and in your calling in your life that he has for you and in the purpose that he wants you to serve, all because maybe just a season of discouragement is happening. And when it looks like, and especially when everybody else is on and the pressure's on and everybody else seems to be doing it, just because everybody else seems to be selling out doesn't mean that we need to sell out. We need to buy in. We need to hang on to what we have when they're selling out to their faith. Or when they're selling their principles out of, they're selling their principles out of this book here. They don't think it's really true anymore. They're selling out to prayer, to the truth of God's word. Let others go their way. Let others say we don't need faith, or we don't need God, or we don't need the Bible. We don't need Jesus Christ anymore. Let them sell it cheaply if they want to, but I'm buying in. And I'm hanging on to what I've got. And you too, your ship is coming in. You've just got to keep watching and looking for it. But I'm telling you, ships of prayer are coming into your life if you won't walk away. Ships of vision will be coming into your life that God wants to give you. Ships of dreams will be coming into your life that he has for you to come to fruition. And ships of these holy aspirations he has in your life to build you up, to make you holy and give you purpose. They'll come in to your life if you will stay where God has called you to stay. They'll come in. And sometimes that requires when others have given up, when others have tried and failed, and seems like nobody in the families anymore want to hold a marriage together, and everybody, the history of the family seem to be divorce. But somewhere in that family, you can get Christ in that house, and you can say, we're not selling out. We're sticking in. We're buying in like never before. And we're hanging on to what we have. And the key is to be the right person in the right place when God comes and wants to do something in your life. The victory, being there in the proper placement, being properly placed where God can use you in a time that He wants to have something done. And you have to know where you're called, and you have to be called to what you do, and you have to find your place where He wants you to be, and you have to stay there. Because success is a four-letter word. Stay. Stay. Don't move. Stay there. Don't become double-minded. Don't become wishy-washy. Well, I don't know. I kind of like this place, and it's just, I just don't know anymore. Don't waver back and forth, giving up and not holding on. You have to buy in. Because when your ship comes in, don't be at the bus station trying to get out and trying to flee just because everybody else is, because your ship is coming in. James chapter 1 verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I'm buying in. I bought into faith. I'm not into the latest popular version of faith going around in culture now, or the latest take on Christianity, because Pastor Adam and I, we preach the Bible here. We believe the Bible. And I'm not ashamed of what we believe. I'm not ashamed of how we worship. Lifting of hands and praising God. And who we are at prayer of faith and what we believe. And the acceptance and love that we give to people. And how much we care about Jesus being Lord of our families and Lord of our lives and Lord of our marriages. Let others sell it cheaply, because it's not just a weekend, all about a weekend being here. It's not all about just an hour experience, what you hoping God will give you some warm fuzzy whenever you come to church and say, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. It's about the long haul. It's about being through it all. We're not a little nicey church where everybody looks good. Yeah, I know I got on a dress code and but I'm up here on stage. But we're not that kind of people where everybody looks good, dresses good. Yesterday, everybody was up here in Hawaiian shirts and luau's. Now, Tim Wilhite, I don't think he's got a long pair of pants. I think he wears shorts all the time. But we like that. We have that freedom here. Amen? I mean, we don't. It's not about how you dress. It's not about having new and shiny cars. We're not into that. We're telling you that if you're looking just for a little easy church to go to, just to be seen, or just so somebody notices that you attend church, then you're probably not going to be happy here. But if you want to become more like Jesus, if you want to find out what it is to put the feet on the floor and to serve, then you've got to buy in. You got to say, yeah. Yeah, maybe I do have some addictions. Maybe I do have some problems in my life that I'm working through right now. But we all have issues that we're going through. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to buy in. And I'm hanging on to what I've got, and I'm not selling out just because it's tough right now in my life. I'm hanging in there. I'm not going to be wandering around. In Jude chapter 1, verse 13, it's an amazing verse. God is pronouncing judgment, severe judgment on the angels that did not keep their first estate. And you remember the Bible teaches, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing right now, but it teaches that Lucifer was in heaven, and one-third of the angels followed him. And there was a severe punishment pronounced in the book of Jude. Jude only has one chapter. But in verse 13, it has a punishment for those angels that didn't stay around God's throne where they were supposed to be. But instead, they exited with Lucifer. And he says he has reserved for them in darkness a place in their own shame. And it's interesting because he calls them wandering stars. Called the angels that didn't want to keep the position they held that they were created to be in. He calls those angels that exited wandering stars. Now, a star is defined as a fixed point. Much of the world in Bible days depended upon and was led by the stars. They had to navigate by them, the men who sailed ships in the sea. They would depend highly on those stars because they are a fixed point. It doesn't wander around. They don't shift because they don't feel like staying where they are because they're not a wandering star. A star is designed to not be moving all over the place because much of the world was dependent upon stars' positions during that time. I mean, even in our Bible, wise men, the only way they found Jesus, thank God it wasn't a wandering star, but it was a star that was burning brightly over his stable, and the wise men were able to find it. Even in ministry, people won't find Jesus if they become wandering stars, that they weren't really ever committed to anything. They weren't really ever sold out to anything, and they weren't really even serious about taking the gospel to the world. The characteristics of a star is that it's to burn, and that it's to shine, and that it's not to move. It's to be fixed, and to get its direction, and to be able to stick with it and not change at all. Are you a wandering star? Are you committed to the house of God? Are you committed to the Word of God by reading it and studying it and understanding it? Are you committed to prayer? Are you committed to living for Jesus Christ? Because our strength in us takes place when we take a stand. When we're able to make a stand for God, standing strong to say, nothing's going to shape me, nothing's going to alter me, because I'm buying in to the Word, because I'm buying the field. And in our passage that we read today in Jeremiah, others around him are having an auction. Others are selling everything. They're don't you know, just to try to get out of there, they were selling things cheap, dirt cheap. And then all of a sudden, here's one guy in our scriptures that God told him, he said, not only do I want you to buy this land, I want you to get the title deed, and I want you to bury it in your property. Get some witnesses on this. And yes, you're going to go through a tough time for the next 70 years, but when you come back, you're going to dig that thing up, and you're going to hold it up before all of these people before you that are busy now trying to get some land, and you're going to say, I've got mine. I've got mine. And you're going to say, I never gave up on what God had promised me, and I've got a title deed to it. It's in your Bible. It's in Jeremiah chapter 32. And that's important to know, because what happens is there's many times when we get a word from God. And whenever we get a word from God in our spirit, we think that the promise or the blessings are going to flow soon to follow, if not immediately. Jeremiah had to wait 72 years for his word of God to come to fruition and then to be able to claim it. 72 years. And sometimes you just have to buy in to the promises of God, even when it looks gloomy. God told Jeremiah, he said, when everybody else wants you to sell, I want you to buy. The conditions that you're in right now, they're not going to be permanent. So just put your foot down and say, we're not going anywhere. God gave us this marriage. God gave us this family. It may be tough now. I know it's kind of tough, but conditions are not permanent. They're just temporary. I've got a contract to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be blessed in all of your household. I've got a contract that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it doesn't matter what hell is trying to do, because I've got a contract that says that. Amen? Our problem in this generation is that we want to lease it. We want to rent, not to buy. Joseph of Arimathea is a favorite Bible character by many, because in the Bible he had a tomb. But he wasn't dead yet. But he had a tomb. And Jesus needed a tomb. Well, he really didn't need a permanent place, because after all, a tomb isn't really something that you can rent. But a tomb, if somebody moves into a tomb, they're in there for life. But Joseph understood something that we all need to understand in our lives. And Joseph of Arimathea understood this, that he says, I'll let you use this because it's just, I know it's just going to get dark for 3 days. And on the third day, Jesus is coming out. And maybe your situation in your life right now seems dark around you and it doesn't really look good. And every voice that you hear in your head is telling you to give up and just to walk away because you're not going to be able to get free from this. These circumstances around you are just so overwhelming. These addictions have you chained down, or your finances may be singing over your head so heavy that it just seems like it wants to destroy you and there seems like there's no way out. But I'm here to tell you that once you get committed and buy into the gospel and buy into God's word, that he'll bring you out. It's going to happen. It's going to happen if you just stay there and hold on to what you've got and to stand strong, even when everything else around you says to run. Cut loose and run. God told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to buy in a time of people are selling like crazy. I want you to buy in because many people are selling the truth now. They just sell out for it. Listen to the verse in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. It says, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy truth and do not sell it. People ask me a lot, they say, Eric, why do you always pay the children to memorize Bible verses or pay them to memorize the Lord's Prayer? I mean, you know, why do you do that? They should be memorizing those verses on their own without you having to pay them. And yes, I realize that. And if parents would work more with their children to memorize Scripture, maybe I would change my mind. But instead, I'm buying into that. I'm buying into those children in hopes that there's going to be new generations to come and that there's going to be new morals coming and there's going to be new ideas coming along with that to come. And that's why I do that. God is saying to us, buy into the truth when everybody seems to be selling here and to be selling there. He says, I want you to buy into the truth. Well, I don't much believe there's a heaven or hell. I don't really know about that eternal life stuff. It seems like when you die, you're dead. I don't even know if salvation is really that important. Salvation is that important. And we're all the better if we know the truth about that and don't sell out. There's a lot of churches that are selling out to the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts, the book that's full of miracles. Pastor Adam and I, we're not going to sell out to the book of Acts to meet the modern-day politically correct church world. The church, this church, was built on the power of God. And we're, like I said before, we're not interested in being nice and being pretty. We're interested in seeing lives changed. Amen? We're interested in seeing lives changed for the glory of Jesus Christ. Because we need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we sang about it this morning, to welcome it and to come and flow and with all along with all of the gifts that the Spirit has to give us. And we need miracles in our church. We have people facing the journey of their lives. It's the toughest one so far. And they need healing. We need miracles in our church for finances. There's people going through financial difficulties. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever is the reason we still believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is welcome more than ever in our church. And I'm not selling that out. I'm buying into that. And I'm holding on to everything that this church was founded on and everything that we have. I'm not selling out just so I can fit in with your clique or be in your arena of acceptance. Just because we believe that too. If I've got to give up the power of the cross, if I've got to give up the power of the blood of Jesus, those things aren't for sale. There's just some things in your walk with Christ that are non-negotiables. A lot of people are selling out to the conviction of sin. They don't like that. They don't like to feel guilty. They don't like to feel that thing in their lives that says, you know, you need to take care of that. They're selling out. But instead, we need to buy into that, because once you learn that that's not a guilt button, but rather it's the conviction of the Spirit to try to draw you back into the safety net and underneath the umbrella of God's protection, it's a gentle wooing to draw you back, we'll buy into that. A lot of people are selling out to praying into the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They say, that's not for me. And they're selling it cheaply. But I'm buying into that. I understand and see and consider how important that is in the life of a church and the life of believers. We need people to pray in the Spirit. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All of them. Not just a few. All of them. And a lot of people are selling out sacrifice. They think that all the church is a place to come and sit, and everything's all about you. And if someone doesn't say hi to you that time when you come to church, well then, fooey on them. Church is about you taking up your cross. And if you don't watch it, you're going to think it's all about giving to you. I don't want to sell my sacrifice. I believe that it matters. And while some are selling worship and the freedom of worship that we have in it, we need to buy into that. We need to shout more. We need more hand waving. Amen. We need more hand clapping. I love it when we hear all of that. Amen. We need more dancing and leaping and rejoicing. And I'm not ashamed when those little children run around here with those banners of praise, waving them back and forth. I like seeing that stuff, because that's rejoicing before the Lord their God in the way that they know it in their little lives. Because you don't know what I know, what He's done for me. And I don't know what you know, what God has done for you. Why would we want to get quiet now and be silent? I don't care who's here. I don't even care if the president drops by and with all his cavalcade or whatever he brings with him. I want him to see a service like this is, where it's free, and we don't need to sell out just to be just for the appeasement of people. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he says, we don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we want to come to you in the demonstration of the power of God. And that's what the church is for today, is the demonstration of the power of God. Worship will never cause any people to leave that we don't need. If one leaves, God will send more in their place. To the point that we'll say, pardon the praise noise, but that's the sound of freedom in a Christian's life. We're able to praise the Father in the freedom of expression. What do you mean quiet down? We don't want to do that. We don't want to sell out our praise and worship just so people would feel comfortable. We love that praise and worship. We're buying into the prayer and praying of this people and laying on of hands. We're buying into sacrifices that we like never before, and we've got more to praise for to God than we've ever had before in our lives. If you sold your worship out, then you need to buy it back. You need to get it back into your life, because you can't heat an oven with a snowball. Think about that. It'll settle in a minute. I don't care how powerful you are. I don't care who you are. I mean, I don't care. I mean, if you're worried about your title and don't want to raise your hand because someone may think, you know, he's loosey-goosey, pity on you. Pity on you. King David of Israel, he was king of Israel. He took his robe off and he danced before the people in his underwear. He was so excited when they got the Ark of the Covenant back. So excited, because he knew that that brought back the presence of God. And he says, I have all this stately king stuff, these ephods and everything, but I'm taking this stuff off to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because I know that there's someone with a greater power than me that I need to lay down before. There's a man in 2 Samuel chapter 23. His name was Shammah. He was one of David's mighty men, one of David's fighting soldiers. And the Bible said that whenever the Philistines invaded, he stood in a pea patch. That's what lentils are. basically a ground full of lentils. And he stood in this ground full of lentils, which was basically a pea patch, when everybody else was running and fleeing as the Philistines were invading, and others fled. And it says, while others fled, Shammah stationed himself right there in that pea patch, those things full of lentils, and he defended it. And he killed a bunch of Philistines. And Scripture says that the Lord brought about a great victory that day because he refused to move. Here's a guy standing out there in the field, nothing but a pea patch, basically. And he had this kind of attitude within himself. He says, I'm not selling out. I'm not running scared because I'm standing strong on this field, because if I give the Philistines, run and give the Philistines my pea patch, then they're going to come back and look for my corn. And if they're going to come back and look for my corn, they're going to come back and they're going to start looking and taking my okra. And then they're going to come back and start taking my collard greens. Ain't nobody taking my collard greens. And so I'm just going to stand right here and stand strong and fight with what all I've got. Because as the old saying goes, if you don't stand for something, then you're going to fall for anything. There comes a time when you just have to take a stand and say, I don't care what they say, I don't care what they do. And you have to decide to stand for the truth and to stand strong. I like Stephen in the last part of Acts chapter 7, first martyr of the New Testament. And when you're reading about Stephen, you can read it and glaze right over this part, and it's easy to miss. But in the Bible, it says that they were stoning him to death in the last chapter of Acts 7. And Stephen took a stand for Jesus. And while he's standing there being stoned to death, basically, the heavens open up. And as Stephen looked into the heavens, he saw, and the Scripture said, Jesus was standing at the right hand of God. Standing. Nowhere else in the New Testament will you see, after Jesus' death and resurrection, and after Jesus ascends to the heaven, nowhere else in Scripture will you ever see him standing. Why? He's sitting. Because the work that he has done is finished. But then there's this one time when God says, you know, I see a man standing down there on earth. And here's the lesson. If you stand up for God, he'll stand up for you. If you'll stand up for what's right, then God will stand up for you. If you stand up for truth, then God will stand up and defend you for your truth. And I could just see Jesus saying, he says, you know, I can't sit here any longer. Stephen's standing up for the truth, and no one's standing there with him. He says, I'm going to stand up with him for the truth. And you have to buy in a lot of times when everybody else seems to be selling out. And you have to make up your mind that I'm not going anywhere. And when you decide to do that, God will give you pleasant surprises. He'll surprise you at times. If you're at the right place, right time, God will surprise you. I thought it was interesting. It's a true story. There was a man in the days when Elvis Presley was alive. And he was inside of a building, and he was inside there just doing his exercises at the gym. And he had some little earplugs in. I guess during that time he listened to a little AM, FM radio. And when he finished with the gym, he began to walk down the alley to go to his house, as he walked down every day. But somehow this day was kind of different, because he had to go a different route because of a bunch of stuff that was blocked off. And there must have been some event going on. And about that time, this head security staff person of Elvis comes out the back door. And the chief of security, he's looking around, and there's supposed to be a security guy there outside the back door, but the normal security staffer isn't there. And when this guy that came from the gym is walking by, the head security guy sees this guy with these earphones in his ear, and he says, hey, come on over here. Because he thought that that was the guy, part of Elvis's security team. And so the guy's walking over, and he's standing there, and he doesn't know what's going on. And then the security guy says, here, hold this door open. And he says, I couldn't believe it. He said, I heard the King of Rock and Roll. He said, I heard Elvis as he was coming through that door. And he said something to me that profoundly changed my life, according to this article. And the reporter said, he said, well, what did he say that changed your life? And the guy said, as I was standing there holding that door open and Elvis passed by me walking through the door, Elvis looked over at me and he said, "Thank you very much." And he kept on going. Sometimes being there is all that it takes. Being there is what matters. Because you know what? Sometimes the King of Kings is coming through your door if you're standing there. And he'll say to you, "Thank you very much. Because I saw you taking a stand for me. I saw you taking a stand for me through the service and commitment that you showed to my bride, the church, and all that you do. Thank you very much for your obedience and doing things that other people don't want to do. Yet you picked it up and continued it on with joy in your life. Thank you very much for standing strong in your submission. I know that some of my church leaders, you don't agree with them all the time, and they say things that may hurt your feelings because they're not with it sometimes. Yes, sometimes we just say stupid stuff, and we have to ask forgiveness for that. But Jesus would say to you, thank you for standing strong in your submission and doing what you need to do in my church. Thank you for standing strong in your focus and keeping focused on my word and my walk that I want you to have in your life and to keep straight. When all of these other things are trying to make it blurry in your life to see me, you still stand strong and maintain that strong focus. And I'm going to bless you, my good and faithful servant, forever. You want to know why Jesus chose John to give his most precious treasure on earth to, that he had? When Jesus was hanging on that cross and he was bleeding and dying and taking his last breath, and he looks down and he says, "John, take care of my mama." Guess why he chose John? Because John's there. He bought in. He's the only one that decided to buy in at that moment. Jesus was in essence saying to John, all the rest of those guys fled and ran off, but you're standing right there with my mom at the cross, and that was John. You want to know why God used Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross after Jesus collapsed under its weight on his way to Calvary? Simon was a dark-skinned African man who had just come to Jerusalem to worship during the Passover. But he was the very first human, other than Jesus, to feel the weight of the cross and to have the blood of Jesus on him and to cover him. Why did God use Simon of Cyrene? Was he talented? Was he gifted? Was he supernatural in his walk? No. Simon of Cyrene just came to see the show that day. He probably thought while he was in Jerusalem, it looks like a party's going on somewhere. I hear a lot of people shouting, a lot of noise going on. Wonder what's going on. And so he goes over there. And so Simon was just there at that right time. And he had the gift of just being there. Some of the greatest victories that you'll win in your life and in your home, in your job, in your family, in your marriage, is if you'll just stay there. Because you can't get acres of diamonds if you leave. You can't get acres of diamonds if you sell out the homestead. You have to buy in to where you are. I close with this. Thought about Simon Peter. If I could just interview Simon Peter, I'd ask him, "Peter, why do you think the Lord chose you to preach on the day of Pentecost?" I mean, there were 3,000 people converted at that event, a mass crusade. The whole city was basically turned upside down for Christ. Why did he choose you out of all of his other disciples? And I think Simon Peter would pretty much say, I have no idea. At one time, Jesus called me Satan. You remember when Jesus was trying to tell his disciples why he needs to go to the cross, and Simon said, no, Lord, that's not necessary. And Jesus replied back to him, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're setting your mind on God's interest and not mine. Peter would say, why did he choose me? I don't know. I fell asleep in the prayer garden of Gethsemane. I was snoring. I was snoring while it was his last few hours here on this planet Earth. I slept through the whole thing. I'm not a super saint. I'll tell you what God looks for. God looks for somebody who's going to buy in. It's that moment where you decide that I'm coming to church. Yes, I have problems in my family. My family may be all messed up, but I'm coming to church. I had struggles this week, probably had a lot of them, but I'm still coming to church because I love the Lord my God. You may have beer on your breath, you might have weed, people all around you smell like weed, and everybody around you may be high, but I'm telling you this morning, I thank you for coming. And I'm glad you're here because this is your church. This is the church, the kind of church you need. This is why we're all here. And we all have to keep coming. Because when we do, He'll wash us. He'll cleanse us. He'll forgive us. He'll raise us up. He'll make you and you and you and me a shining star for the kingdom of God. And God can change your life profoundly when you decide to buy in. And it's time to buy in for a lot of us. We need to say, I'm tired of this halfway stuff. I want to buy in. I'm coming to the cross and I'm going to stay there. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to be faithful to what God has called me to do. Amen. Please join me as we pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for never, ever giving us away and giving up on us. Thank you for holding us close to you. Father, I pray that we would just buy in with all of our lives and all of our might and being. That we would take to heart the verse that says, I love the Lord thy God with all my might. All my heart and all my strength. And I pray that we'd also take the second verse that says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Father, I pray that if there are those this morning that have wavered in their walk with you, that have wavered in deciding to turn their life over to you to be the Lord of their life, to fully become a fully devoted Christ follower and to walk the path, I pray that they would buy in. I pray that they wouldn't turn back. I pray that they wouldn't become overwhelmed by the people around them and to sell out and run from the truth of your word. Father, the truth cleanses us. The truth sanctifies us. And the truth helps us to stand strong so we won't wandering around, but we can stay as a fixed point to shine greatly in your kingdom. Father, if there are those today that have been on that brink of that decision, I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to just draw them fully back into your presence, back into your kingdom work, back into serving you, back into the obedience that they need in their life, changing their focus to see fully you in front of them instead of other obstacles that may have kind of gently fallen in the path. Help us to focus on you. Help us to submit to you. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us to strive after you. We ask these in your name, precious Jesus, and all the church said, amen, amen. Please stand as we close in song this morning.